Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26. I'm Jim.
And I'm Dale.
And we are those crazy Bible study guys.
All right. Hey, Jim, how you doing today, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing really good today. It's raining out where I'm at here, springtime and up in Michigan, but I'm doing pretty good.
And that's awesome. Yeah, we're going to get some rain today, too, down here in the old good old state of Florida. So that's what I love about our podcast, man. We are coast to coast, north to south, just about here. So I love that. Oh, man. Well, and happy day to all you listeners out there. Thankful for you guys and wherever you may be at. Like, again, we thank you for listening and tuning in with us. We hope and pray that you can continue to spread that the word out about us, and be kind of cool to even go on the east to the west coast too one of these days.
So. Yeah, we need our listeners to help us go east to west. We've got north to south, but we can bring in others along for the ride. So
that's it, man. That's it. Let's get to those four corners of the earth. Yeah. What the Bible says. So yes, I'm with you.
Hey, man. Well, Jesus, man. This is like the power sermon, man. I feel like it's lately on Facebook, I don't know why I'm enticed with it, but I've been seeing a lot of Mike Tyson boxing clips come up, and I don't know why I'm intrigued by him, but I mean, that guy he was tight, and man, he's just left, right, and the power behind his punches. That's how I feel like the Sermon on the Mount is, man. He's just throwing these left hooks, these right hooks, these uppercuts, you know, just really hitting all these areas of our life that really, there's nothing in the Sermon on the Mount that there's at least one thing that's going to apply to everyone. And I know for me, there's multiple things, right, that I'm learning and is just hitting home with me personally. So, man, he is just bringing it. So,
people will sometimes be like, well, you know, the Bible's not for me. Like, it's just old fables and tales. Like, no, absolutely not. Like, it's so real. It's so raw. And like you're saying, man, Jesus is uppercutting the heart here. I mean, he's really making us check ourselves. And what's amazing is these words, everything he was teaching 2000 years ago applies to today. And guess what? It's going to apply to tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
And so on until he comes back. And I mean, man, like you said, I mean, these are some hard realities. And I love that we're talking about them. You know, it's what I love about this time is, you know, again, how many times, you know, are we learning this kind of stuff? I mean, just again, Jim, even you and I reading through Matthew 5, I can tell you how many times I probably read through it, skimmed through it, looked at it, catched a verse or two, but like coming together and really diving in deep, like this is what God called us to do, you know, get together, gather and talk and just be open and real. I mean, yeah, it's I'm loving it, man. And like you said, there's some punches, and they're hard. They're hard to take sometimes. Yeah. And I mean, yeah. Mike Tyson's not someone to mess with, man.
Yeah, dude, I listened to this live conference thing, and he was one of the speakers on it. He was very, very interesting to listen to, but man, he can fight. So, and I mean, the thing about that is for the opponent that he's facing, man, he can expose your weaknesses, right? When you face a strong competitor like that, man, they show you the cracks and the weaknesses. I coach softball, and I'm in the middle of that right now, and we're playing some teams that are much, much better than us, and it's exposing though. But you know, we had a practice yesterday that was working on our outfield because it exposed the weakness that we had there. So, you know, sometimes we just need things straight in our face, right? Like this, that Jesus is doing, to expose those things. So we know the things we need to work on, know those things that we need to come to God and just lay it at the altar there for him and just ask him to just give us strength, give us wisdom, in these particular situations. So,
dude, I like that. And that's such a good lead into something I want to bring up today, too, is, you know, again, it's we think of some of the stuff and we can instantly get in the negative mind tone. Like, we can just instantly beat ourselves down, like, well, I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. But that's not what this is doing. Like, this is, like you said, exposing some of the realities and the truths that we do struggle with. We all do struggle with things. Yeah. Nobody's going to be out there that's perfect. That was Jesus. That's it. There's no one else. Everyone else is a sinner. And at that point is to be able to, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, I want to help you process and improve. I want to help you to that pursuit of perfection. So one of the things I used to do all the time, you know, and kind of still do, is lean management. And that was always the mindset is you'll never be 100%, but you can try to do your mm-hmm. best as much as you can to get to 99.9997%. So even though we'll know we'll never be perfect like Jesus, the goal is to try to pursue
yep.
what his life is. And so we actually have a really fun box today, and it really ties in, like, this is like for chapter 5. You know, Jesus has about 6 different, you know, examples that he's going through. And we've already done 3 of them. We got 3 more to go. So it's kind of a nice like recap. And it says 6 ways to think like Christ. Again, that process improvement of our life. So don't think negative about yourself. Don't beat yourself down. We all fall short of the glory of God. Let today be the day we step up and say, you know what? Today's the day that we grow. Today's the day that we improve. And that's the mindset. Like, again, goes to think like Christ. So I don't know, Jim, if you want to read some of these and we can check it out.
Yeah, let's do it, because, you know, that's the key here is that these are some things that I think the other thing Christ is trying to tell us is, hey, these are tough things, and these are things, come to me, man. I can give you strength. I can give you wisdom. I can give you peace. I can give you the strength to get through that moment. So we were talking about this earlier, right? Is it starts with that spark and that if that Satan throws us, that he's that spark, right? He's trying to throw the spark to create that if that starts to brew in your heart that turns into action, right? And God just wants us, hey, these are tough things. Come to me. Get my strength, get my wisdom, get my grace, get my mercy. So these are great. I love this. 6 ways to think like Christ so that we can try to do that when we face these some of these really difficult challenges that we're going to run into in life.
Yeah. And yeah, so we'll give you out, you know, to let everyone know here, we have 4 columns that we're going to read down. And again, so this is what's really cool about it. Of course, obviously, it's going to be a reference. So we'll kind of throw out, you know, the scripture verses that's being referenced to, what the ultimate example is, what the main topic is. The other columns are, it's not enough to, you know, insert, you know, what we're trying to talk about the topic. And then what we must also, and I think what's neat is the we must also column.
Yeah.
It's like you said, there's that spark. So, I mean, obviously the spark comes from somewhere. This is kind of what Jesus is doing to kind of pinpoint us to where the spark is starting to, you know, go about. And that's the example we always give in lean management is if you're sitting in your house and then you get a drip of water on top of you and you look up, well, there's a little water spot and you can see water dripping in. A lot of people instantly want to just fix that spot. But the reality of it is water typically isn't entering in from that point most of the time. Most of the time it's coming from outside of the house and it's rolling. Water will actually stick to an object until gravity eventually takes over and then drops. So you could have a leak on the outside of the house, but you don't see it. You don't know it until it's actually, in, you know, kind of a little bit of a couple feet into the house is where gravity's taken over at that point. And so this is what I love about this column is Jesus is taking it to that next level to say, hey, let's root cause where this situation is, where the water's coming in so that we can fix the house and make it stronger and better and safer. And that's what these columns are. So I wanted to give that example out because I love that. And that's, again, he's not trying to beat us down and make us feel shameful. He's trying to help us realize where the root cause of the problem is so that we can start to mend it in our heart. So, yeah. All right. So we got 6 of them. So is it, you want to roll through all these?
No, you can get started on those. I'm going to throw one more analogy to you too.
Like, go for it.
Cause there's a couple of cool themes that, as we've been in Matthew that we've developed. And one of them is like, you know, Satan's if is that, kind of like he's trying to throw that spark to get a fire going in you, right? And taking that immediately to Jesus is like the fire extinguisher, just blowing right on it. You know, you just probably need to pinch the spark, right, to put it out. But Jesus comes with that power fire extinguisher, or that power fire engine hose, and just he's gonna make sure that spark don't ever come back. You know, so.
We got a new t-shirt idea right there.
Yeah, man. I know. So, I think so.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. All this right, is so going to be cool. Yeah. Go for it, man. Get it started.
Yeah. Let's check this out. So our first reference goes back to chapter five. All these will be in chapter five. So 21, 22.
Yep.
The first example was murder, and it's not enough to avoid killing. Easy one for us to understand. We must also avoid anger and hatred.
The spark, again, right?
That's the spark. Yep. So that's the spark. You're not going to kill someone just because you're just walking around. Like, you're going to get upset. You're going to get frustrated. Someone's going to cut you off, you know, while you're driving, or say something about you in public. And that's the spark. So again, that's what to avoid. The next one we have is related to references 23 through 26 verses. The ad example is about offerings. It's not enough to offer regular gifts. We must also have right relationships with God and others. Again, what do we take away from this? Your perspective of your heart. Check your heart. You know, are you doing something to gain, or are you doing something out of just true, pure purity? All right. The third one is reference to 27 through 30, adultery. It's one we just kind of talked about.
Yep.
And it's not enough to avoid adultery. We must also keep our hearts from lusting and be faithful. So if somebody walks by, look up in the sky. You know, avoid it at all costs. Because again, that's the spark.
Yeah.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah. Nice. I'll have to go back.
Someone comes by, look up into the sky.
Hey, I love that, man. That's right. It's again, there's that spark. You go into the mindset of that if, then you start to think, and then boom, next thing you know, it can lead to a really bad place. The one we're going to be talking a little bit about today is 31:32, talking about divorce. And it is not enough to be legally married. We must also live out our marriage commitments. Really important. Again, we make these oaths, we make these vows, we need to maintain them. And there's going to be hard days, hard times, hard challenges. So we have to see it through together. Two more. 33 through 37 is oaths. It's not enough to make an oath. We must also avoid casual and irresponsible commitments to God.
Interesting.
So got to be careful. Our words mean something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one, 38 through 47, the example is revenge. It is not enough to seek justice for ourselves. We must also show mercy and love to others.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one, especially when we've been damaged or hurt really badly. We kind of want to take it to the next level out of that revengeful mindset. But again, I think of the cross. You know, Jesus died for my sins. That was my punishment, you know, and he showed mercy and love to me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one coming up here in a couple more episodes, because that's just something every once in a while, man. Well, not every once in a while, but quite often, right? Someone angers us or we get mad at someone, or they do us wrong, right? And we want to seek some justice, but that seeking the justice, that's the spark, right? And so, hey,
and again, looking at these six examples, again, you know, like I'm just looking at them like, yep, done, you know, been there, done that, got those t-shirts in my closet, you know, like, you know, not all of them, but quite a few of them. So, you know, it's like, again, this is what I love about it. You know, Christ didn't come to save the saved. He came to help the sick. So,
yeah,
praise the Lord.
I just love how we've kind of, I mean, like you said, I've read Matthew before, but just some of these themes that have come up from just us doing this Bible study through the podcast of like that spark, you know, that's, I mean, I knew that, but we've been just really diving into this, and it's a great thing, right? It's like, recognize the spark, right? And you know, just pray to the man who'll bring the fire hose and the fire extinguisher, right? Help me out with this one, Jesus. I need your strength here. So,
amen.
Yeah, there's a footnote here. It's not really a footnote, but there's kind of a summary at the end. I'm going to hit on that. It says, we are more often than not guilty of avoiding the extreme sins, so the it's not enough to column, while regularly committing the types of sins which Jesus was most concerned, right? The heart matter stuff. In these six examples, our real struggle with sin is exposed. Jesus pointed out what kind of lives would be required of his followers. Are you living as Jesus taught? So,
all right. Yeah, I mean, it's convicting. So yeah. So again, it's a daily struggle. You know, it's a daily pick up the cross. So focus on it and do your best. So yeah, I know I'm there.
I know that the spark tied with the it is greater than if. Those have been our major themes. These initial episodes here. So let's dive into what Jesus teaches about divorce.
Yeah. So it's only two verses today. It's again, Matthew. We're still in chapter 5, 31 and 32 today. And it goes like this. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So this one's a little sticky point here. And so I think it'd probably be best. Maybe let's hit the footnotes. And then
that was my immediate thought. I need some footnotes.
Thankfully, both of us, even though, we're not perfect in any manner, our lovely wives have been there and worked with us and loved us. So we have not been in the position of a divorce. So I definitely want to see where Jesus is saying here with the guidance of these experts, and then we can kind of open up so we don't mislead or go in the wrong path.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where you're like, we've done this often, right? In our Bible study, you read something and you're like, whoa, hold on a second. Because I, at face value, it's like, what do you mean? What's going on here, right? So, let's hit some of those footnotes right away. And I agree with you. I mean, my wife has given me so much grace and mercy through the man. I think it's like 35 years we're celebrating this year. So,
oh man, congrats! Yeah, that's awesome. We just celebrated 18. So,
all right.
But I do want to jump real fast. I want to read an old footnote. I'm going to take us back like 20 episodes back to when we did. Read about Joseph and when he had the dream with Mary and, there's a footnote in there that kind of gives us and I think this is just important to know. Again, Jesus is referencing perspective of that culture at the time. So this is talking about Jewish marriage. So I wanted to at least read this one more time so I kind of understand and we have that mindset.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. A Jewish marriage involved three basic steps. First, the two families agreed to the union. Second, a public announcement was made. At this point, the couple was pledged. This was similar to engagement today, except that their relationship could be broken only through death or divorce, even though sexual relations were not yet permitted. Third, the couple was married and began living together. Because Mary and Joseph were engaged, Mary's apparent unfaithfulness carried a severe social stigma. According to Jewish civil law, Joseph had a right to divorce her and the Jewish authorities could have her stoned to death. So again, this is setting up kind of the perspective of the audience Jesus would have been, talking to and how they would have understood it at this time. So
yeah, I was rereading this too, where it says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness caused her. So there was a specific scenario there here too related to it. But I think the footnotes are going to do much better interpretation than what you, nothing against Dale, but I just, I think, I think we need some experts here on this topic.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. So I've got one footnote that talks about it in summary here. It says, divorce is as hurtful and destructive today as is in Jesus's day. So again, you know, and my friend, where I go to work out, the guy that runs the place, him and I talk quite often, and he was just saying, you know, the more I read the Bible, the more it's like, you know, things really aren't like, you know how people always say, this new generation, you know, it's like things have been the same. It's just been the scenario and the plot has been, you know, maybe different, right? Because of what we live in and the technology or whatever of the day. But that's why this is the greatest book on earth, right? It's been applicable for over 2,000 years. So God intends marriage to be a lifetime commitment in Genesis 2:24. When entering into marriage, people should never consider divorce an option for solving problems or a way out of relationships that seem dead. In these verses, Jesus is also attacking those who purposefully abuse the marriage contract, using divorce to satisfy their lustful desire to marry someone else. Are your actions today helping your marriage grow stronger, or are you tearing it apart?
Yeah, and just for reference, Genesis 2:24 is, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And I think that's the important. Obviously, Jim, you've been married, I'm married. And, you know, that's the thing. We made a vow in front of, you know, an audience of family members and friends, where we looked into, you know, our wives' eyes and said, you know, and, you know, until death do us part, you know, it's a lifetime commitment. And I think, you know, again, that's the challenge, is a lot of people struggle because they want that instant gratification. There's a lot of me that's taking place, and a lot of it, again, Satan's ifs are really coming in. If I do this, if I go here, grass might be greener there.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of changing, and you know, that's, again, I think that's the heart matter where, you know, this is really taking us. Now, you know, there are definitely other situations, like, you know, again, sexual immorality, you're cheating on your wife, you've done, you know, or spouse, or, you know, don't want to just be specific there, but you're cheating on your spouse, you're, you know, and even then, I'll even take the next level. If somebody is physically getting harmed, to me, I think that's another stance. Like, it doesn't say that in here, but I at least want to be sensitive. Like, yeah, if you're in a situation where you're being physically harmed and abused, that's a huge red flag. Yeah. And please take precautions and talk to a pastor and, you know, really be engaged in that. Don't, you know, you got to be safe too. And I think that's also, like, that would be a big piece too. I think this is literally just going on that mindset of adultery that we had talked about last time.
Yeah.
And again, exactly. That's the focus. Again, don't take things out of context, take to things, what is actually there. And, you know, it's specifically talking about adultery throughout it. So again, if you're planning on cheating, you are cheating, you know, that's the primary focus of what this is saying. And I think 32's footnote might help a little too with that.
Yeah. I think, the context, right? If we just read this and we didn't read what we read last time, right, about lust, it might be taken out of context, and you could be literal that, you know, this is all that's acceptable or whatever. Yeah. But the thing about this, right, is, like you were talking about, the grass is greener. I think that's that's where we get in a lot of trouble in life in general, right? Not just in this area, but, you know, when I was younger, it was hard for me. You know, and I'm not just saying with relationships, but just, you know, you're young, you don't have a lot, and you desire more, right? And just that learning to kind of flip the lens, right? I feel like at the eye doctor, right, where lens one, lens two, you know, which one is clearer, right? And just flipping that lens of just saying to yourself and looking and going, look at what I do have. look how awesome this is, instead of looking at what you don't have. And that, for me in my life, that was a big game changer when I started to, like, when I had that aha moment and started to apply that. And I was like, man, I got it so good. I've got,
you know,
my wife, my kids, family, the job I had and where I live and stuff. And, you know, it's really that discontentment of thinking this is going to be better. Like you said, the grass is greener. That is what tends to get us into this kind of trouble, you know, like what Jesus is talking about here. So let me dive into that.
I want to say one thing real fast. Yeah. You know, someone told this to me and it's always stuck with me. You know, you can think the grass is always greener, but really the grass is greener where you decide to water it. And I love that saying, because we take the time, again, you know, a lot of people want the easy way out. You know, grass is greener on the other side of the fence because that person took the time to make it green or worked with it, whereas I didn't. So that's why my grass isn't green. But if I were to actually take the time, fertilize it, work the land, you know, and watered it, amazing how much greener your grass really can be. So it's, again, you have to put the effort into it. Water your own grass, you'll be amazed at how green it turns out to be.
Yeah, I love that a lot. Just where are you gonna put your effort? And that's where, man, that's I'm gonna steal that one. Putting that one in the memory bank. So let's talk about this. In 32, it says, Jesus said that divorce is not permissible except for unfaithfulness. This does not mean that divorce should automatically occur when a spouse commits adultery. The word translated unfaithfulness implies a sexually immoral lifestyle, not a confessed and repented act of adultery. Those who discover that their partner has been unfaithful should first make every effort to forgive, reconcile, and restore their relationship. We are always to look for reasons to restore the marriage relationship rather than for excuses to leave it.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, things happen. So, you know, if you can work together and do it as a team, that's the goal, right? I mean, again, for better or not. And so, you know, you have to be a team player. You have to work together. But if there's just unwillingness, unchanged, then that's, again, new perspective.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, right? It's got to be a team effort. You got to work together on it. It's like, you know, anything in a marriage. When you're on the same page working through it, man, you can get through anything. So
that's it. Man, good stuff today, man. Yeah. Some of these I get nervous. I'm not gonna lie. Some of these topics, I get nervous. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't have any experience in this, or I don't know if we're gonna say the right thing. But yeah, again, God is good, and what a beautiful piece of knowledge today to help us grow more like Christ. So
definitely. Father God, thank you so much for our study today. We thank you for your continued insights about those sparks that the devil continues to try to throw at us. Continue to help us, to remind us to just come to you, Father, and get that fire extinguisher to put them out. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Man, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Yeah, don't forget. So remember, like Jim just said in that prayer, if you see a spark, go ahead and put it out. Very simple stuff. And until next time, enjoy the gift of today.